çünkü.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, cheeky.
Hello, cheeky.
Hello, cheeky.
Hello.
You're all under arrest.
And that music tells us it's time for this week's quiet thought from Patience String.
As I stroll in my garden each evening, amidst the flowers so fragrant and pure, I'm always amazed that they spring from old compost, leaf mould and manure.
Thank you, Patience. Don't knock your pipe out on the microphone, dear. Thank you.
Meanwhile, in a public library, just louder than the shh.
Miss, is the chief librarian in?
No. Come into my office.
No, I wanted to make some inquiries.
What do you want to know?
Have you got laryngitis?
I don't know. Who's it by?
No. I want A Kind of Loving by Stan Barstow.
That's up to you and him, isn't it?
No, you silly cow. Give me a kiss before dying.
All right.
Sorry.
Oh, I wish that I was in the land of cotton.
Why?
A button's come off my trousers.
Time flies.
Oh. Would you believe it?
Manuel Ortega of Barcelona has just retired after 2,000 bullfights, during all of which he did not receive a single injury. He took the tickets at the gate.
Ole!
Hello?
Manuel Ortega here. Things have been a bit quiet since I retired. Would you and Hello Cheeky be interested in my sister? She is a flamingo dancer.
Surely you mean a flamenco dancer?
No, no, she's a fat bird with a big nose and long skinny legs.
Ole! I don't think so, thank you very much.
She doesn't want money, just some raw fish twice a day.
Oh. Oh, well, in that case, hello? Hello? Mr. Ortega? Operator, can you connect me to Spain?
Only if you're Portugal, sir.
Meanwhile, over to the maternity ward, just on top of the rubber sheet.
Congratulations yet again, Mrs. Scrimminger. Your fourth set of twins in 6 years. Tell me, do you have twins every time?
No, hundreds of times we don't get anything.
I say, you chaps. Do you know who's in the audience?
Well, I know two of them, but who's the other one?
A word in your ear.
What?
Wax.
How dare you?
No, it's Wax, Daryl F. Wax, the famous film producer.
Not the Daryl F. Wax, who made The Dark at the Top of the Stairs.
Yes, he broke the light bulb. Oh. And now, over to Wembley for the House of the Year show.
Isn't that a misprint?
I don't know. Play it safe, just in case.
All right. And welcome to the House of the Year show with the news that Anne Moore's just collected four faults on a red brick semi-detached. And now Marion Mould is entering the ring on Dunroam in her favourite bungalow. Oh, and at the first fence she's dislodged a chimney pot and two house agents.
I say, it should have been horse.
It's too late now. That's it. Tonight's overall winner, Harvey Smith on 37 Disraeli Terrace. Good night.
I don't think anybody noticed.
I think I know the girl who typed that.
Why?
My wife and I wanted to rent a place for our holidays, and she gave us a three-bedroom stallion.
Hello, Cheeky. Proudly present their Showbiz Awards of the Year.
Our first award this evening is for the show business personality who has been engaged most times this year to Peter Sellers, and this goes to Liza Minnelli, who cannot be here. Oh. The next award is for the best Shakespearean performance at the National Theatre by a member of the House of Lords, and here is a surprise result, Lord Olivier. And here to accept the award, because we couldn't get anybody else, is Bruce Forsyth.
Nice. Nice to see you. To see you.
Nice.
Thank you, Anthea. That's all. Just like I say, well done, Lord Olivia, also Ralph, as I call him. Yes. This year he managed to remember Hamlet, King Lear, Othello, Three Sisters, Two Bookends, Electric Toaster, and that funny shaped thing with a tassel on the top.
That's his wife.
Didn't he do well?
We interrupt these awards to bring you
the Dennis King Trio.
I've just written a love song, but one thing worries me. It's just that my typewriter has lost the letter G. Still, hey ho, ready, steady, oh. I'm in love, yes, in love, so sublimely in love with a wonderful, beautiful Earl. And now life is so rate, and it swings like a eight, and she's set my whole lobe in a whirl. She's lamorous, she's glorious, she's Enfil and A, and she brings out the ipsy in me. When we're on our own, her asp and her roan make me feel like a Spanish randy. So I fill up my lass, because life is a ass, and that lint in her eyes says she's mine. When she smiles and she nods, she's a if from the odds, she's the rape that I pluck from the vine. I've turned my trump card up, I won't keep my heart up, I'll gladly surrender to love. So away with all loom, when we're bride and groom, just her and I, just hand in love. Yes, love is so chronic, it's all in and tonic. Hooray, I say, it's a rand and littering day for love. God help us.
Any listener who would like a recording of that number, take an aspirin and lie down, you'll feel better in a minute.
Listen, you great fat talentless oaf. Hi, fans. Lovable Dennis King here. I've got a good mind to stick one on you. Can you play the piano like that?
No, I can play the piano like this.
Rubbish. You have to use both hands.
Don't worry, he won't be missed.
Due to the fact that our programmes are running a little late, here is a shortened edition of The Sky at Night.
It's black.
Meanwhile, in a jeweller's shop, just before 1 o'clock...
Hello, I'd like to buy a...
Sorry, sir, we're closed for lunch. And now it's time to go over to our lovable Cockney personality, Monty Odbin, in a lovable Cockney street, asking lovable Cockney passers-by their definition of beauty.
Here, you, fellow with a big hooter and a funny eye, what's your definition of beauty, then? Shut up. You reckon that flat-chested cow standing next to you's beautiful?
Well,
shut up. I don't reckon she's beautiful. I don't reckon any of you beautiful. Ugly show, you ask me. Shut up. Oh, that was me. Here, you, the bourbon sticking out teeth and a spotty face, what do you think's beautiful?
What?
Shut up. I mean, I know I'm not beautiful, but I'm lovable, innit? I don't care what you twits say. Don't matter if you're not beautiful, as long as you've got charm like me. Shut up. Back to the studio.
Thank you, Monty Odbin.
Shut up.
One of these days. And now, over to Max Bygrave's trouser pocket, where two white fivers are talking.
Wonder how Chamberlain's getting on at Munich.
Meanwhile, at Munich...
Hello, Adolf. My name's Neville.
Shut up.
All right, give us a piece of paper and I'll go home.
John.
Yeah?
John, we've had a complaint about the material in the show.
Oh, we've had them before.
I know, but this one's from Tim.
I want to do my news at 10-bit.
Oh, all right. Hello, Cheeky, in conjunction with Reginald Bosenkay's Trousers, presents Jokes at 10.
Hear about the fellow who bought a paper shop? Next morning, it blew away.
Hear about a fellow who rushed into a psychiatrist and said, I have trouble getting on with people, you big fat pig.
Hear about the fellow with two wooden legs whose house caught fire? Fireman saved the house, but the fellow was burnt to the ground.
It appears that there was this vicar who's a very nervous man. Wait a minute, I haven't finished yet. Anyway, he had to give a sermon because... No, he was very nervous because he was a new vicar and he had to... Oh, come on, don't be rotten. I'm trying to tell a joke. He had to give the sermon, you see, because when he came to me, and his sling was full of shot.
There's a story the gypsies say is true.
Kick a frog in the teeth and you'll have a bad day.
Hi there, frog kickers. I'll be with you tonight, playing some swinging sounds and some blow football. After that, Bruce Wyndham will yodel the shipping forecast and Esther Ransom will do the first ever strip on radio.
And now, over to Westminster Abbey for a short service.
Thirty, 15.
Amen.
Would you believe it?
There is only one parrot on the island of Tristan da Cunha. It has a distinctive cry.
Polly wants some crumpet!
My wife bought a new pair of corsets yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes, four panels. Wouldn't mind, but Nicholas Parsons is the chairman of all of them.
Good evening, I'm a lightning artist. I shall now draw you a map of the whole of the Western Hemisphere. Thank you. If you'll excuse me, I have an appointment to touch up a photograph of Roy Hudd. I love him, I tell you, I love him.
Why say that? There's nothing funny about Roy Hudd.
Oh, you bitch, Dennis.
Oh, no, no, no. No, I didn't mean it like that. Can I tell another joke?
You've only just put one out.
Here goes. This fat lady sat down on a... Oh, Roy Hudd.
There's no need for that sort of language.
Hey, I've got a Persian cat at home. The poor thing's starving.
Why?
I don't know the Persian for, here, kitty, kitty.
Look ahoy, hum ahoy, oh,
is that Persian for, here, kitty, kitty?
No, his filling's loose again.
Oh. Here is a newsflash. As a result of a complaint to the Race Relations Board, the Isle of Wight will henceforth be known as Elsie Barkworth. To compensate for this, Elsie Barkworth will henceforth be known as the Isle of Wight. Hello?
Hello, this is Mr. Barkworth. I want my wife's name back or else.
Your wife's name is Else.
Oh. Well, in that case, I'll sing the Buana song.
What is the Buana song?
Buana these days. You're gonna miss me, Elsie.
Get off.
Oh, damn.
Home hints for the handyman, number... Guess.
Three.
Wrong. Three. How to grill a pork chop.
Shine a light on it and ask it where it was on the night of the crime.
And now back to the Hello Cheeky Awards.
The Musical Awards Song of the Year. And I've just been handed a piece of paper and the winner is Your Flies Are Open. I'll hand you over to Karl Marx.
I remember first hearing this next song back in 1917 during the revolution, which was 78 in those days and not 33 and a third, which is my inside leg. How did my inside leg get in here? next to the other one. They work as a team. Anyway, where were we? At Mrs. Grabsnitch's, and what a night that was. What's the song called?
Get On With It.
Here's a song called Get On With It. That's the silliest title since Alf Ramsey got a knighthood. And I'm told he never wore it. All right, Mother. All right, Mother, I'm coming. Put the soup on the hob. All right, you old witch, put the hob on the soup and see if I care. All right.
The Raja groaned, the Raja frowned. A man-eating tiger's prowled around. If affairs continue in this state, said the Raja, I must abdicate. And so he did and became immortal, for there above his palace portal is carved the legend beneath his name. His reign was abandoned on account of game.
The Raja had 364 wives, and though they had the time of their lives, the palace was filthy and in need of care. There were dirty dotties everywhere. Said the Raja, for the cleaning I need one more wife, although I've got 364. So he got 365, and that is how he's got a daily woman for the cleaning. No!
Thank you. Thank you very much for this award. I'd like to thank everybody...
Dennis, what are you doing?
Well, I wrote that song that's just won the award.
Dennis, it was only a sketch. It wasn't real.
Not real? Ha! That's typical of this jungle we call showbiz. Strip away the tinsel and the glitter, and what do you find? Audrey.
Dennis, that's tawdry.
Oh. And what do you find? Tawdry and shabby sham.
What?
Shabby sham. Shabby sham. Shabby
sham. Shabby sham. Yes, shabby sham. The new champagne perry for that special feeling.
Darling, before I ask you that special question, would you like a shabby sham?
No, thanks. They give me the wind.
Yes, shabby sham. The drink that gives you that special feeling.
Oh, hark at me!
And now, the special award for sound effect of the year, and here, with his speech of acceptance, is Max Alcock.
Nice lad, Max, but he always tells the same two jokes.
Please, don't applaud. He'll want more money. He's on a week now. He'll be wanting... if we're not careful.
In the studio, we have Peregrine Armpit, who has just been to see the exhibition of Impressionist paintings in the bottle and jug department of the Duck and Pullet. He's talking to Laszlo Brush.
Boom, boom!
No.
Well, now, Peregrine, what caught your eye at the exhibition?
Well, there are a couple of marvellous Degas, one or two Trillos, and a superb Toulouse Le Trumble.
Are there? Is there a theme to this exhibition, Perry?
No, not really. I mean, apart from the fact they're all Impressionists, it's been put together with absolutely no regumble to content.
Pardon?
What?
I thought you said regumble.
It's entirely possible. It's a slight speech defect. I do fall into some tumbles. There I go, a gumble.
I'm sorry I brought that up. Back to the exit bumble. Oh, Lord.
Yes, a lot of tumble do find it catching.
Do you mean I might start dumbling it?
It's possumble.
That's going to make interfumbling very awkwumble.
How do you mumble?
Well, when I ask people quest jumbles, humble are they going to understand mumble?
Well, I fumble no diffy cumble in under stumbling humble.
Oh, thank humble. Thank humble.
No, not at humble.
Shall wumble come timble humble the end of humble?
Certain humble.
Well, wumble. Basically. Well,
humble, humble, humble. We do apologise for interrupting that interview so abruptly, but Laszlo and Peregrine seem to have got themselves into a bit of a tangle. Silly stumbles.
We present a hitherto untold story, one of the greatest tragedies in English literature since they dropped Chaucer and chipped him. The story of an author whose struggle for immortality was always overshadowed by the genius of his brother William. Hello Cheeky humbly presents Arthur Shakespeare, the Burke of Avon.
This true and tragic story was incorporated in a manuscript in Arthur's own hand, which was discovered only recently between the pages of The Book in Jimmy Savile's library. It begins... it begins as follows.
Bill done it again on me this morning.
Do you wonder they call him the Burke of Avon?
He come round while I was finishing my new play, King Looney and His Three Rotten Daughters.
What ho, Arthur?
I'll give up, Bill. I'm no good at riddles.
What do you mean, brother mine?
I mean, I don't know what ho it is. Tell me.
By my halidom, Arthur, thou art a right twit. I mean, how goes the writing?
Well, it starts on this side of the page here. I'm going...
I pray thee, Arthur, please upset me not, lest I should kick thee in the codpiece.
Well, that's all right for you, Bill. Flogging your poems to that puffy lord. But I just had my latest play sent back by the Globe Theatre.
Prithee, what play was this?
Armstrong, the Potty Prince of Sweden. They reckon they've already bought one with the same plot.
Ah, oh and really, really oh and ah.
What you talking like that for, Bill?
Cost would pain me to lose my iambic pentameter. Did the Globe Theatre say who had written this other play?
No, they just said it was about a potty prince from Denmark called Hamlet, and it keeps on happening, Bill.
Tis true, tis true.
Do you remember how they sent back my Everything's All Right What Finishes Proper and put on one called All's Well That Ends Well?
Yea, verily, verily. And then they put on a piece called Much Ado About Nothing, having rejected your lot of bother about Sweet F.A. Ah, Anne Hathaway.
So I've heard, but I can't get near enough to find out.
Methinks, Arthur, thou should stick to tragedy. Good day, good Anne.
Good day, good Will.
Good day, good Anne.
Good day, good Art.
Good God, what rubbish.
What news, Anne?
I bring ill tidings.
Well, tidings is a stupid name for a dog, and you shouldn't have brought him out if he was poorly.
Mock me again, Will Shakespeare, and I'll rip you rough. Arthur! Arthur! The Globe has rejected yet another play. They say they can't accept a couple of geezers from Bexhill, as they're already rehearsing Two Gentlemen from Verona.
This, King Looney and His Daughters that you're working on, Arthur. Let me read it. I might come up with some ideas.
Well, you read all the others, Bill, and you didn't come up with nothing. Still, it's worth a try. Here you are. I shall be getting on with my new idea. It's a tragedy. And it is called Romeo and Edith.
Undaunted by his previous failures, Arthur set to work once again. No, Arthur.
Oh, sorry. Anybody lend me a quill?
Is it any wonder? No, Arthur.
Oh, sorry, me quill broke. I'll just read that bit back. Romeo. Mercutio, I cannot go to the ball, I've got nothing to wear. Mercutio. Don't worry, Romeo, think of a number. Romeo. Yeah. Mercutio. Now double it. Romeo. Yeah? Mercutio. Now put on a doublet and go to the ball. That's good, that's good. I like that. Yeah. Come in.
I am Richard Burbage, actor manager.
Ah, you're the swine from the Globe what keeps sending my plays back.
In all conscience, Arthur, I cannot keep you. I can't keep you in the dark anymore. We've rejected your plays, but someone else has used your ideas.
Oom.
Tis I, Arthur, I must confess. I can write better verse than you, but I have no talent for construction. I have therefore stolen most of your plots.
Most of my plots? What happened to the rest of them?
Harry Hyams bought them and put up blocks of flats.
So, when I sent in the greengrocer from Arpenden...
I put on the Merchant of Venice.
And when they rejected Brass Monkey Weather...
I wrote A Winter's Tale. But fear not, Arthur. We will make it up to you.
So I should hope. I haven't had a funny line for 2 pages. Come to think of it, there hasn't been a funny line for 2 pages.
Then I shall write thee one. Here.
I had to shoot my dog this morning. Was he mad? He wasn't too pleased about it.
Methinks I am ahead of my time.
You've been conning me out of my lolly, Bill.
Fear not, Arthur. When all this began, I had a severe attack of the scruples.
What? Oh, I see what you mean.
And each time Bill made love to me, I made him put a golden guinea in the mattress of my second-best bed. Thus have I made enough money to buy you this cottage.
Had I known, I would have given you all my business and we could have bought the street. Arthur, henceforth...
Or henceforth, if we've got long enough.
Arthur, henceforth you and I shall write together. You the plots and I the verse, and we shall share and share alike.
Everything?
Everything. I will share Anne's bed, Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays, and you, Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays.
What about Sundays?
That's my 10%. You do feel a fool talking to yourself.
Come, Arthur, let us begin.
Here, Bill. I've got this smashing plot about a packy what strangles his crumpet.
I like it.
And so it was that the Shakespeare brothers wrote together. And although Arthur's plots live forever, not a word of his dialogue remains. In fact, all that exists is his own epitaph, which appears at the end of the manuscript and reads as follows.
Though my bones now are aching and creaky, and my quill pen is blunted and squeaky, there's one thing I must write as my final good night, and that simply is this. Ta-ra, Cheeky.
Ta-ra, Cheeky.
Ta-ra, Cheeky.
This programme was written and performed by Barry Cryer, John Junkin and Tim Brooke Taylor. Music by the Dennis King Trio. And the programme was produced... by David Hatch.